By week's end, kids and teachers mostly will be back in classrooms. And while big employers like Liberty Mutual, John Hancock have delayed return to work until January, a lot of offices are welcoming workers back now too, at least gradually. And a lot is still up in the air, like how long Delta will have a grip on the country, the status of the Biden administration's plan for boosters. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases talking to Morning Edition this morning.
I think in the beginning, what we had to do, because it was an emergent situation, we did the first prime followed by a boost either 3 or 4 weeks later. A lot of lives were saved by that. But when you want to get to the optimal regimen, I believe the optimal regimen will ultimately be that third shot for the boost.
So the boost, boosters, Delta variant, back to school, back to office. What is still up in the air for you? It is time to ask the doctors. The number 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. With us today, Dr. Cassandra Pierre returns. Dr. Pierre is acting hospital epidemiologist and an infectious diseases physician at Boston Medical Center. Welcome back, Dr. Pierre.
Great to be here.
And we have a new addition to Ask the Docs this week, Dr. Eileen Costello, the Chief of Ambulatory Pediatrics, also at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Costello, nice to have you join us. Welcome to Ask the Doctors.
My pleasure being here.
All right, so Dr. Pierre, I'm going to start with you. We are seeing, we've got these competing data points, okay? We're seeing an increase in cases in Massachusetts, roughly 17% more cases in the state last week over the week before, according to the state's Department of Public Health. At the same time, the Commonwealth is still ranked 44th among states where coronavirus is spreading the fastest. So most states have it worse than we do right now. Weighing those two kind of data points, how concerned are you about Delta right now in Massachusetts?
Well, it's, I think, too early to let go of the concern. You know, we're in a point where, as you've been mentioning, schools are reopening, some businesses are reopening as well, and many have been incredibly thoughtful about the plans for reopening in terms of distancing and vaccine recommendations and masks. But, you know, as we come back from Labor Day weekend, there's always the concern of having an intensifying number of cases that is spread within those work, school, and then social networks. The thing that we have to fall back on is our relatively higher vaccination rates. So our hope is that we will not see an increase as high as we did last fall and winter. However, there is some evidence that there probably will be a continued increase in the number of cases that we see.
So let's pick up on that, Dr. Costello, especially because kids under 12 still can't get vaccinated. School has started for many kids in the state. Boston starts Thursday. Now, to note for our listeners, masking is mandatory for students and staff, regardless of vaccination status, at least to the beginning of October. Should we be concerned with this increase in cases and the intersection with starting school, particularly when it comes to unvaccinated children? And I do want to note, we really did see limited transfer of the virus, spread of the virus, when kids returned to school last year.
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, we do need to be concerned. I think our vaccination rates among kids, you know, even kids who are eligible for vaccine in Boston, the kids 12 and over, are at about 50%. And that's not something to be proud of, because as those kids get, you know, more social, get back in school, there will be more cases. And while we know that children are less likely to have severe illness and death from this illness, there have been 500 deaths nationally of children, of kids under 18. And with more cases, there will be more severe illness and death. And so I am concerned that our vaccination rates are actually, especially in kids, not something to be proud of, and that the most important metric right now is vaccination. It's getting more kids vaccinated so that they aren't spreading this virus to the unvaccinated or to vulnerable younger kids or elders with whom they live.
All right, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask a question of Ask the Doctors, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. We do have a question on Twitter from Lisa McNulty. Can you get a flu shot and the additional dose of Pfizer or Moderna at the same time? All right, so there's a lot in there, and it gets at several questions that we have for you today. I just want to start in the flu space, Dr. Pierre, because, of course, last year there was this worry about a dual pandemic, right? Competing pandemics with the or illnesses with flu and COVID. Would that compete for medical care, et cetera? Everyone was home. Our flu cases were way down. What are we looking for, looking at, thinking about with flu season this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there were a lot of concerns that, of course, remained unsubstantiated about this twindemic last year, but turns out our masks and physical distancing and working from home, doing virtual schooling seem to have squashed that. But now, again, schools are opening, businesses are reopening, people are gathering again in social groups more so than they did last year. And since we have a relative lack of immunity because we didn't have much flu last year, we are concerned that this will be a serious flu season to match what we are seeing right now with cases rising from the Delta variant. So it is important to really think about this. I'm glad the listener is thinking about this already. This is important for adults, children, everyone. The good news is that most professional societies are coming on board to say they are recommending co-administration of the COVID and flu vaccines at this time. So it is something that you can get together. And, you know, one of the things that the listener was also alluding to is the possibility of getting a booster. That's for another discussion. But right now, the recommendation is, yes, you can get a flu vaccine with your COVID vaccine. You can get a flu vaccine with your COVID booster.
Okay, so first, if you're not yet vaccinated, you could now get vaccinated for COVID and the flu vaccine at the same time, right?
That's correct.
Great, great. So now, Dr. Costello, for the second part, and Dr. Pierre just touched on this, I wanted to talk more about the status of boosters. Dr. Anthony Fauci was on Morning Edition on NPR just this morning, talking back and forth with the host about the question of when boosters will be available. I want to point out, and we've been asked to be careful in our language with this, right now people who are immunocompromised qualify for third shots. Those are not really treated as boosters, right, but as necessary to get to a certain baseline level of efficacy. Then there's this September 20th deadline, which would be for boosters, but right now that's not finalized because the data is not in yet to approve even the Pfizer vaccine for a booster, and Moderna and J&J would be further behind. Do I have all of that right?
I think you do. Cassandra, you might be able to weigh on this better than I as an infectious disease specialist, but that is absolutely my understanding as well.
And Dr. Pierre, anything I'm missing there?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, we're still in a state of trying to look at what we can do based on what the science dictates and also where we are with supply. So, yes, I think it is true that right now the third dose or the additional dose for those who are immunocompromised are recommended, but we don't have recommendations as of yet for a booster dose.
So, Dr. Costello, I saw a question on social media today which did it occurred to me it would be a good one to ask you, and it was a person asking, how can we not be approved for children under the age of 12 yet for the vaccine, but we can be administering third doses to people who are already vaccinated? Now, I suspect I have some sense of what the answer to that question is, but it seems like a good one to have you clarify.
It's an excellent one. I think all of us are very eager to get the next group of kids. The clinical trials now are for 5 to 11-year-olds, and it's not a question of supply. It's not that we don't have adequate supply to vaccinate them. It's just that the bar is higher when you're talking about childhood vaccines. We need higher numbers than we need for the adults to be sure that we're not causing any harm. And we're just not there yet. So I think when the numbers are adequate to show that this is a safe and effective vaccine for children under 12, then it will be approved. But it's not a supply question.
1-800-423-8255 to ask your question. We've got Nina on the line in Walpole. Nina, go ahead.
Thank you so much. My question relates to booster shots and the risk of having a booster shot too early. For example, I have been vaccinated in June. There's a potential I will be abroad for the year, and I may not have access to have a booster shot there. And I was hoping potentially to have it before I leave, but I wasn't sure, again, if that would be too much of a risk.
Dr. Pierre.
It's a great question. So the immune system is an amazing, it's an amazing thing, but it needs time to mature. And so in addition to, unfortunately, not having recommendations or guidance about the booster shots quite yet, we also know that giving an additional dose or a booster shot too soon might not actually do anything at all. We do need to make sure that the booster doses are timed appropriately to give us the maximum amount of boosting that charges our immune system. So my guess is that in June, right now we're in September, it's only been 3 months, probably you won't see that benefit. You may not see the benefit from boosting by getting that additional dose at this moment.
So Dr. Costello, we are now at a point where we talked about schools, kids back in. Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of Brown University School of Public Health, says, okay, vaccines, rapid tests, improving indoor air, masks. Those are the top four strategies. But he's also said, get the first three right. Vaccines, rapid tests, improving indoor air. It means we can use the fourth more sparingly. Do you agree? And is there a point this year where if air is up to quality, vaccinations are up to par, kids might be able to be safely mask-free in schools?
That's such an interesting question. And I think if we get our vaccination rates really, really high among everyone who's eligible to be vaccinated, it's possible, but we are nowhere near that. One question you asked earlier is about not seeing a huge uptick in cases in the spring when kids went back to school, but that was before the Delta variant really arrived in Massachusetts. And now it's here, and it's a very transmissible virus. It's much more transmissible than the Alpha variant, on a line with chickenpox, for example. And, an index case can infect up to six other people. And so I think that the idea of taking off masks before people are really highly vaccinated, I think is too dangerous at this point.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your coronavirus questions. And we have a lot of questions still, too, Dr. Pierre. There's one that's sort of been on my list to ask for a couple of weeks, and I finally get a chance to ask it here. And it is about the folks who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I understand there are just fewer people in the country who have received it, and it came later, which means that there's a data lag there. We hear regularly from listeners saying, wait a minute, I had the J&J shot. Nobody's talking about boosters for us. Nobody's talking about definitive answers on whether efficacy is waning. I don't know if I'm in one of the classes that has a statement of caution issued around it, that, well, I have to get the J&J booster if and when it's time for a booster for J&J. So, one, how to deal with that lag for a percentage of the population who got a vaccine that people said go get? And two, what do we know about catching the Johnson & Johnson vaccine data up with Moderna and Pfizer as we move along?
Yeah, another great question. And I completely share that cause of concern. I mean, we want to make sure that everyone is, when it's time for booster shots, those who are at highest risk, whatever the prioritization of those booster shots are, can get it, hopefully regardless of the vaccine that they received. However, as you mentioned, the J&J were authorized later. We know that, it's going to be a shorter period of time from the time that people were completed their immunizations for J&J, so there's not as much of a lag as the people who initially got Pfizer or even Moderna. There is some data for J&J regarding booster vaccines, or at least regarding when antibodies begin to wane. Right now, the FDA is looking at evidence, looking at the data for the J&J antibody decreases as well as for the booster vaccines. I can't tell you, we don't know when that information will be ready. Also important to note that even for Moderna, there's a lag in the data. The FDA has requested more information when it comes to thinking about a Moderna booster shot. So we may be out of sequence for all of our vaccines, which I know is not a comfortable place to be. That being said, we do know that the time is a little bit shorter in between the time that those individuals who got the J&J received or completed their vaccine series and the time where they would be eligible at this point, given that they started later. But I agree. I think we do desperately want this information and may have to experience a bit of a lag.
So I'm going to stay with you for a minute, and then I'm going to go back to Dr. Costello just as a follow-up on this. earlier in our Ask the Doctors a few months ago, it seemed like at the time the dominant conversation was around mixing forms of vaccine, that a booster from an mRNA, if you'd had J&J or vice versa, might be most effective. That does not now seem to be the direction that public health officials at the federal level are going. Any information for us on that?
Another great question I wish I could answer. Yes, it does seem to be that our regulatory and public health authorities are recommending sticking with the vaccine that you originally received. So there have been some data about mixing and the types of immune responses we could see. And I'm hoping that there will be more acceptance or evaluation of studies that have looked at this. But right now that data is a bit more sparse than the data that has been generated by the pharmaceutical companies themselves, in which they have, of course, predominantly looked at their own or redosing or reboosting with their own vaccines. So I hate to keep saying this, but more data is necessary at this point. It is interesting to note that very few places, including San Francisco, have already started to look at giving a booster dose for people, for example, who received J&J with another vaccine. But that is, by and large, not the common practice, and it is not what is being recommended at this point. So hopefully more to come.
All right, I think we have time for one more call. We'll direct it to you, Dr. Costello. We have Rachel in Brookline. Rachel, briefly, go ahead.
Yes, now that schools have been in session for a couple weeks, is early indication that the masking and the really good things in place are actually helping or staying safe, or is Delta, in the face of Delta, are things even still having outbreak clusters?
What do we know? Do we know enough yet, Dr. Costello, from the return to school in Massachusetts?
I don't think we know enough yet. I mean, Boston schools are going back tomorrow. We have seen, even in the last month or so, a pretty dramatic uptick in positive COVID tests in our primary care clinic. And so we know that this is coming and are expecting it when people are together in large groups, that there will be more of it. So I think the jury's still out, but we're sort of gearing up as if we're going to be seeing a lot more cases in children than we have seen before.
And just to clarify, I think it is Thursday. I think it's September 9th that the Boston Public Schools
go back. Oh,
you're right.
You're right. Thank you.
That's all right. All days blend together in COVID, so that's completely fair. So Dr. Pierre, back to you. One last question in our remaining time. We've been asking a lot about what we know now. I am curious, what are you watching? What's the thing you're looking at that may not be on our minds, just briefly?
Okay, great question. I think that, what I'm really looking for is, actually, I have always been looking for this, is the post-holiday information. We know that coming into this fall holiday season, our numbers were high to begin with, unlike last fall and winter. We do have this benefit, obviously, of having the vaccines to limit, hopefully, what we see in terms of hospitalizations and deaths. But I'm really interested in taking a look at the cases and the hospitalizations just to see, to ensure that we're still having this disarticulation between cases and hospitalizations and deaths. And that will be important as we know that our vaccine, our time from vaccination and our immunity may be waning.
I will look forward to asking you about that next time we have you on. That's Dr. Cassandra Pierre, acting hospital epidemiologist and an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, alongside Dr. Eileen Costello, the chief of ambulatory pediatrics, also at Boston Medical Center. Doctors, thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.